This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Back. This is Deanna. Our guest today is John Klychek. He is the author of School World Order, The Technocratic Globalization of Corporatized Education. And I was going on a little rant right before the top of the hour break, but now they want your children preschool and they just want to take over the children. And I love children. My own children are the joy of my life, and it just really makes me mad that they're doing all these terrible things to children. Children deserve the best that we can give them, not to be corporatized and used and abused by the very system that should be protecting them and educating them to be productive citizens in society, not some sort of workforce that can be exploited by corporate America.
Yeah, interesting thing about the idea of kindergarten, for those who might not know, is that that comes out of a Prussian military system of schooling, largely inspired by Johann Fichte. Who was close to the real Illuminati, the historical Illuminati, the Bavarian Illuminati founded by Adam Weishaupt. And another member of that would have been Karl Casimir Wundt, who was the father or grandfather of Wilhelm Wundt, who was the psychologist who I earlier mentioned, who basically started this stimulus response form of psychological conditioning that is largely now synonymous with educational theory. I think it's like over 600. It might be more than that. I've got a chart in my book. It's actually Anthony but it's the number of PhDs that got American PhDs that got their doctorate under Wilhelm Wundt and brought it back to America, largely under the aegis of G. Stanley Hall, and then later John Dewey and all the other
right folks. Right. Yes, this doesn't happen overnight. This has been incremental, and it's certainly been planned, plotted. I know that sounds very conspiratorial, but that is the facts. Those are the facts.
That's why I touched on that angle. I mean, the book could have been complete and possibly equally, or not equally, but in almost equally informative without looking at the order, maybe. But if you take that element out, you can always come up with the counter argument that this is just this natural process of evolution, which is what the posthumanists, the transhumanists, which I get into that in the end. That's their argument, which is that that basically evolution once was this biological form of mutation. Your DNA through competition with other species evolves, it gains an advantage, and then it keeps that genetic advantage, and then it gets another one, and that has largely been replaced now with technological evolution. So when our brains became smart enough to manipulate the environment to our advantage as opposed to manipulate our own biology to our advantage, that took over, and that later, that at one point we will interface with these ever evolving technologies, which are now computational. If you take this consistent element of the order of skull and bones out of the equation, that could possible maybe, but if you add that to it, it certainly at least complicates that argument. It certainly looks like there's a certain elite group of people who are trying to create the new man in the new world, which would be, starting from Weishaupt and down to today. So that's why I touched on that. My colleagues in academia might poo-poo that, you know, it's not academic to go down that route, but you know, how many correlations do you have to do before you can actually, you know, confidently infer that this is something to look at? You know, is how I look at it. So
absolutely. And of course, as you mentioned, the Order of Skull and Bones. A lot of our politicians belong to that order or to other orders. They're all working together, the Democrats, the Republicans. They pretend like there's some sort of a choice. They make the public think, oh, you can vote either Democrat or Republican, and you're going to get the same thing no matter what you vote for. They all go out. They're in on this together. Nobody's draining the swamp. they're adding to the swamp. If you take a look at some of the leadership in some of the agencies, the ABC agencies, and recognize that there is a revolving door between government and the corporate world, then there's going to be a big problem, because there is a revolving door, and we need to recognize that. And of course, most of the time get their news from the very limited source. There's five entities, media entities, that are producing the exact same news, which is fluff and stuff, and they really don't give us the news about what's really going on. But people get into this and they think, oh, this is what's going on, and isn't it wonderful the fire engine came out and retrieved six ducklings from a manhole. That's not news. I'm sorry. It's just not news. And we don't get news. We're just being programmed, which is unfortunate, because not only are they programming our children, but they already have the adult population largely programmed and continuing. Now they're just starting earlier and using more technology and replacing the work that people used to do, production. And when you're producing something, when you're actually contributing to society in some meaningful way, then you're going to feel really pretty good about yourself. But when production has been offshored, put into countries where the labor is a fraction of what it is here, well, it's pretty bad. We're painting kind of a negative picture here, but this is what's going on, and you can't avoid looking at the truth, and you certainly have not avoided looking at the truth, okay?
And, you know, there is something to be said for the argument that, or at least a kernel of truth in this argument, that why aren't students getting jobs after they get out of college, right?
Right.
So you spend, especially if you spend a lot of money going to college, you know, I mean, it's pretty normal to feel like, I thought I was supposed to get an advantage after this, not have debt and make the same amount that other people without degrees are making. Sometimes those people make more. I have plenty of good friends who, very good friends, don't have, actual college degrees. Some of them don't have high school degrees. They make good money. They make better money than me, you know, and so it crosses my mind sometimes. But that's not the point of education. I mean, if, you know, in the classical world, you know, education was largely to make you, you know, the liberal arts was what it was called, was to make you liberal in the sense of being free, right? Being able to think on your own. If you just wanted to be secure in your economic situation, you could go to the guild, or you could go and get, largely what is now workforce training. But that didn't necessarily give you the same advantages in terms of mobility in the larger civil process, you know, and so it didn't give you the ability to think outside of your guild caste, so to speak. So in today's world, you know, I'm not saying that there should be no, you know, if somebody doesn't want to get a master's or a PhD, there should definitely be a way for them to do some kind of vocational ed or something. But what I kind of look at with the new trend is that, you know, the old voc ed, you know, or even like, you know, a traditional apprenticeship, you largely learned a skill. You know, my old man was a carpenter, is a carpenter, and, you know, he largely learned that stuff, just not in a traditional apprenticeship, but you studied under as you worked and, you know, was able to, you know, do okay for himself, you know. But there was a skill that he has, you know, if something's messed up around the house, he can do it. In the new workforce training, which you largely have is you're trained for a particular, not just a particular job, but a particular company, you know, is the long-term goal. They call these career pathways, and they're largely, a lot of times, funded by, sponsored by particular companies. And so, you know, over time, the trajectory looks more like you are, you know, basically being trained for a workforce caste system. You're not, it's not even that you're being educated with a vocational skill that you can use autonomously and, you know, make your own way as an entrepreneur, so to speak. And that, in my opinion, is the pernicious part of, you know, the career pathways, workforce schooling through this, you know, what they call the adaptive learning software, et cetera. So, you know, I mean, yeah, that's the right. That's what I think is the difference, I would say.
Right. And the school system, when I was in high school, we learned how to do a lot of practical things. There were sewing classes, there were cooking classes, there were classes where you learned how to take care of your needs. And now, I watch commercial television. I think it's like a lawyer who prepares the opposite case. What you see now is that you would think that no one knows how to cook, because now you can get all of these prepared meals that you just follow the directions and cook. And I'm positive people are being overcharged. Well, of course they're being overcharged. But I think, what's the matter with these people? You just look at a cookbook, darn, and you follow the directions, and you teach yourself how to cook, but the practical things that we learned through our experience and through our education are no longer available to children. They do not know how to do these practical things, to take care of a household, to take care of things that we just normally learned through life. And it's amazing to me that people, it is just totally amazing to me.
And not only do they not learn it, and you know what, I'm guilty of this in a lot of ways myself, because I don't know which generation I am, X or millennium. I'm probably in the middle there somewhere. But, you know, I am not proud of I can do some stuff my dad used to do, you know, handiwork-wise. But, I'm not the handyman that he is. You know, and back, you know, that would have never been the case, you know, once upon a time. You know, you would have at least absorbed what came before you. But it's not just that they don't, that we, myself included, don't necessarily learn it all the time. But, you know, there's this, at a deeper level, oftentimes, it's not valued. The whole idea of the workforce training or the automation of work itself is based on this principle, or this, you know, I guess, anti-value, what I would call an anti-value of, you know, work is bad, constantly trying to get away from work. You know, having economic security with a particular company, you know, with your workforce or your career pathway certificate, is not going to necessarily fulfill you as a human creature in the same way as if you actually have a relationship with the fruits of your labor. In other words, like, you're creating something that when you're done, you're proud of what you created, aside from the money. Obviously, everybody wants to pay their bills, you know, but they both have to happen. If you're just paying your bills, but you don't really have any treasure, you know, in the stuff that you produce with your hands or your labor, like that's not healthy either. That's not what we want either. So, you know, both the workforce training curriculum and also the idea of auto, like you said, with the little bit of free time I have, I like to do stuff. You know, I like to pretend like I can mess around with some woodworking like the old man, or I like to try my hands at, you know, crafts and things. And, you know, that's just something else, that the underlying value was wrong before they even tried to put it all together, you know.
Right. The other thing about technology is that it is altering children's language skills. They have developed a whole new set of text patterning where they're not even teaching cursive writing in some areas. They're not teaching those basics that people should know, should be expected to learn. They are not using their hands, I just can't believe it. What is going on? It is unbelievable to me. Go ahead.
I try not to be too controversial in the classroom, but we talk about, you know, all this data stuff for sure. I mean, we got to talk about that, you know, the
right.
Order. No, I don't bring up the order, you know, unless somebody on the side is like, you know, somehow comes up, but you know, that I largely give them stuff that's, you know, and I try to give it to them in an even-handed way and let them make up. One of the articles, The Atlantic? I think it's The Atlantic. It was Nicholas Carr. It says, Google making us stupid. And it's all about whether or not Google is altering our reading patterns, our comprehension abilities. And then I give them some other stuff on texting. You know, we look at Orwell sometimes, you know, and his ideas about how language would be diminished and things. We talk about that a lot, and I notice, you know, I mean, just as an example, sometimes they'll come in the classroom and they tell them, so you guys take, you know, I'll turn the lights on, you know, if I'm not here before class starts, but they will sit in there a lot of times with no lights on, and everybody's looking at the glowing phone. And then when it's time to take notes, you know, I put stuff on the board. I'm old-fashioned. I still use the whiteboard. You don't have chalk boards anymore. I got whiteboards, and I was a marker board. And they'll snap a picture at the end. And I tell them, I said, look, because administration doesn't necessarily encourage us to tell them to not use the phones. And whether they know it or not, because I get along with a lot of administration, I'm actually friendly with a lot of people, I'm a pretty agreeable person, whether they know it or not, you know, they got a job to do too. They're trying to play their position and make the people above and below happy, and you know, they might think that's all they're doing, but you know, when I look at a couple steps up, it's like you are basically encouraging this trend, and that trend is is to interface with these technologies. And I used to joke and say those things are going straight in your brains, kids. I shouldn't say kids, because most of them are adults. I teach college, 18 to some are older than me. It's community college, and you know, now they actually have these brain computer interfaces with you know, Neuralink at Elon Musk's company, and Facebook's got them.
Oh, right. Yes.
You know, and that sounds crazy, but you know, when you actually, that's why the book got so big, because I thought that was going to be just kind of all like this little thin part of the book, and I realized, well, you know, they've been playing with that stuff for like 50 years, with, you know, starting back in Yale again, which is where the order is. I know I trailed off there. I had two things going, and then I took a detour, and I didn't get back.
It's okay. It's okay. Yes, people actually used to write things down, and when you write things down, it goes into your mind much easier than if you take a picture of something with your smartphone or your whatever. I don't use a cell phone. I have one. It's turned off. And I used it. I think I used it maybe 3 months ago. I was out somewhere and I wanted to stop by my friend's house and I called her to see if she was home. It could have been 4 months ago. I do not use a cell phone. First of all, they cause a lot of health issues, serious health issues. Okay, we will be right back in 3 minutes. Stay tuned.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
It starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead to change the bad to good, to live in harmony. It starts with you and me.
All righty, we are back with our guest, John Klychek. He is the author of School World Order, The Technocratic Globalization of Corporatized Education. And right before the break, we were talking about taking notes versus taking a photo of what's on the blackboard or whiteboard.
Yeah, you saved me on that. That's what I wanted to get back to you. What you mentioned was that, right, if they write it down, they will remember it better than if they snap a picture. And I always try to not impose on anybody. So I tell them, you know, hey, if you want to snap your picture, snap your picture. But I'm going to encourage you to also write it down, because You know, this is where the neurological stuff is true. You know, it's just that you should be in control of your own psychological and neurological conditioning. And I tell the story where I used to compete in some martial arts stuff, and I ran out of wind a lot. And a coach, a trainer told me that to write down every night that I don't get tired. And I thought it was the silliest thing. So I'm like, I says, Joey, I'm not going to be able to, you know, writing this down isn't making my, it's not going to make my lungs bigger. I don't know what kind of voodoo you're trying to help me out with here, but it worked because, you know, it puts it in it, that subconscious, that value level. And what it helped is with was when I got tired, instead of telling myself I was tired and giving into it, I did the opposite. So just anytime you're scrawling, though, you know, there's kinesthetic research that suggests that the connection, that pencil to the hand, it's better than typing the notes as well, by the way. I say that as well. It has a deeper connection to that memory center of your brain. Okay. And so, you know, just to end that, it's not that the science is untrue. It's that it's being used in the wrong ways. You know, I mean, you and I are using, you know, technology right now. It's just that I think it should have its appropriate place and should not, largely override, you know, the human mind and what I believe is the human spirit. You know, that's where I stand.
Right. Something that you said I was going to pick up on and add some things. Certainly, we do use technology, but you should make that technology as try not to rely on technology, but rely on your brain, because if you don't use it, you'll lose it. And I really believe that is what is going on. The other thing too that I wanted to get back to, a thought that I had, was that people actually believe, I assume they believe, that somehow that Bill Gates and Jeff Bezos and these people somehow just developed this technology, these technological ideas in their garage. If people actually believe that, you really need to question their sanity. These people had some connections, and I've studied the connections that Bill Gates had, and the connections that his father had with questionable entities. No, these people didn't just start this stuff in their garage and become millionaires within a relatively short period of time. You can say the same thing about Facebook. You can say the same about all of the big Google and all of that. This sounds conspiratorial, I know, but people, that just didn't happen. They had big money behind them. They didn't do this in their garage. They didn't become overnight successes by doing something in their garage. Sorry, if you believe that, that's pretty naive on your part. The other thing that I wanted to touch on, something you touched on, was the medicalized education, which is something else that is very troubling, is that somehow teachers now have this unique ability to be able to say, oh, that child must have ADHD, because look at him, he's so full of energy. Well, it used to be that we had several periods. They called them recess. They called them gym. We actually went outside. I grew up in California. We could go outside every day and have recess and run off all that energy. We played baseball. We did all kinds of things during PE. And boys are more fidgety, and most of the time, you'll find that there are more boys on Ritalin and who have been who other professionals, quote unquote, have determined that, oh, they have some mental problems. Okay, we will be right back in 3 minutes.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Folks, this is very important information. What's to be said about CBD? AncientLifeOil.com. Our CBD is made from hemp and has 0.003 THC, which means this wonderful product won't get you high, no matter what amount you take. What does CBD do for the body? My hands are tied, but you can Google CBD benefits and be astounded. When you're finished reading, you'll want to log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com and purchase. Life is good when you feel good. People are tired of pain. People are asking for non-GMO organic products to help them with you fill in the blank. Legal in 49 states, and again, our CBD is made from hemp. Ancient Life Oil is about helping people, one by one by one. If you wonder how good the product is, the CEO takes it every day without miss. AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com. Have a great day.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Reaching for a dream of peace to break the madness.
You know the answer, so simple to find.
All righty. Our guest today is John Klychek. He's the author of School World Order, The Technocratic Globalization of Corporatized Education. The website that you want to visit is schoolworldorder.info. When we went to break, I was talking about ADHD and that also goes back to centralized education, wherein the government has actually, by federalizing education and putting it on a national scale, has placed themselves in a position where they can offer extra money for children who have some sort of disadvantage, or some children who have some problem where they have to have medication. And of course, since the federal government is one of the biggest consumers of this kind of medication, and they now have another group that they can practice on in addition to the military and in addition to institutionalized folks, such as prison inmates, then it just, gosh, it just makes it so much easier for the people who are supposed to be representing us in Washington to make a little extra money. They go to Congress as regular folks wanting to do something really great and with good intentions, and they come home as millionaires because they know exactly where to put their investment funds and stocks and whatnot. But you talk about I was just mentioning medicalized education, which also goes back to Bush, because they started a program, clinical trials and that kind of thing, in Texas when he was governor down there, of using and he worked in hand-in-hand with the Clintons on this, so that they could get more people on drugs. So you have drugs and technology, both bad for the children of America and for adults.
And technology as a drug, basically.
Yes, absolutely.
And that's kind of what Mr. Huddleston mentioned, but also, the medicalized part of it stems again from the stimulus response psychology. So largely, the stimulus once upon a time would have been, you know, whatever instructional material whoever's the teacher would present. So, you know, text form, and then, you know, as audiovisual media progresses, you know, maybe a video or something like that. And then the response is the outcome that you want the student to get. And this is a pedagogy. That's a fancy word for philosophy of teaching. So if I accidentally say that too many times, but pedagogy means philosophy of teaching. But so this teaching philosophy, where largely you're providing some stimulus to get a particular outcome, like, and the outcome is predetermined, right? Usually in line with some workforce training, you know, for national, you know, economic development, et cetera. The medicalized part, I mean, in some ways, you know, cognitive behavioral therapy is itself a medical practice, but there's the deeper level with the socio-emotional learning, or the acronym is SEL, where largely what they want to do at this point is take the stimulus response to the neurological level. And so that means that they're tracking how your nervous system responds, as opposed to, like, how do you perform on the test? These otherwise abstract, aggregated behaviors. They're largely looking at they have something called Affectiva, which is it's a product that will face scan you while you're learning. I saw one with it was on RT with the BrainCo Corporation, which is also in the book. Where they're either scanning the face and they're looking at your facial expressions to look at how the students are learning. Are they engaged? Are they happy? Are they paying attention? And then there's also the BrainCo has like headbands, I guess you would call them. They're little halos that sit on there, and they measure the EEGs, right? So the brain waves, basically, and, you know, how are those responding to the lesson plan. And then the Gates Foundation was at one point trying to fund these bracelets, the GSR.
I believe. Oh, right.
The galvanic skin response, I think is what it's called.
Yes.
And so that would do the same thing. It looks at skin conductivity, heart rate, and they're looking at all of these physiological responses. They're aggregating it into some kind of algorithm. And then, you know, you're going to be, your lessons will be, if you're the student, your lessons will be altered accordingly, right? So, you know, if you're not responding properly, the lesson will maybe be made easier for you, or some other, you'll get some other accommodation would be the fancy word they use for it. So that's the medical part. I mean, it's not just the using, you know, getting students on ADHD meds, but they literally have, they call it gamified learning. The product escapes me at this moment. I can look it up at break. It is basically a learning game or a video game that in which it trains you to have better to treat your ADHD, to have better focus. And a company that actually focuses a lot on that is called NeuroCore, which Betsy DeVos has lots and lots of money invested in. She might even be one of the main investors or shareholders. I'll look that up at break as well, the particulars. But she definitely was a big thing when she got when they brought her in to be secretary, when they voted on her. That was one of the things. I think Lamar Alexander and some other people, some other congressmen had said, hey, you have to divest this if you're gonna be Secretary of Ed, and she hasn't. And they also have they have NeuroCore Pro. Now I've since checked that since I wrote the book, and that the NeuroCore Pro website, I haven't been able to find it. So I don't know if they shut down that branch of it or what they did with it, if they're just doing some PR on it or something, but there is an educational arm of it, which is NeuroCore, is to help treat ADHD. And, you know, it's kind of what they would call gamified learning or conditioning your reflexes through this digital stuff that monitors, they call it biofeedback. Okay. And that's all the, your stimulus response, your neurological stimulus response and how that works. But they also have the corporate arm, which is, you know, they'll help like athletes or like business people who need to focus, you know, need to focus their mind when they're at some kind of, board meeting, or, you know, you're under pressure, under some kind of psychological stress, you need to perform better on the job. So, you know, easily a company like that can obviously put those two together, and you can have, you can pathologize the workforce now and give them some sort of medicalized treatment to make them, perform better in their workforce cast is kind of what I infer from all of that. Yeah.
The other thing too, and what previous guests and you have indicated, is that first of all, you should never put any child in front of any kind of a screen. And people use, when television became very popular, television is not interactive. Television is just, you are just taking in information that people, you have no idea who they are, have devised. You do not interact with the TV. When you read a book, you are interacting with what you are reading. When children used to listen to serial radio programs, they used their imagination to interact with what they were hearing. But when you put somebody in front of a screen, or put a screen in front of people, there's no interaction. There's no stimulation. There is just people being fed a particular pieces of information that they take in. And you can say the same thing about YouTube videos. Yes, there's probably a lot of good information in YouTube videos. I don't spend a lot of time looking at YouTube videos because none of them have citations. You don't know where the information came from. You're just taking in this information. Your brain is not really questioning or interacting with that. So that children in a classroom who are just being fed information don't have any, they're not participating in what they're getting. They're not raising, you don't raise your hand to a screen and expect to have some sort of a communication about what's being presented. You're expected to accept that information, questions, no questions allowed. And I believe that in that kind of a situation, you're not going to be stimulated. You're going to get bored, whether you recognize that it is boredom. It's just not interactive. And if you're not participating mentally in something, then it's probably not very good for you.
Yeah, you know, I'm not a neuroscientist, and I'm not a psychologist. I teach English. I'm a specialist in rhetoric. But, right, psychology comes out of philosophy, and rhetoric is philosophy. And if you even look at something like, you know, Freud's idea of the mind, you know, he had the id, the ego, and the superego. Well, that was just ethos, logos, ethos, logos, pathos, right? And so, you know, that's just the thinking part of the mind, the feeling part of the mind, and then the doing part or the will. And, you know, you don't have to necessarily have a sophisticated degree to understand that learning requires the proper balance of those things. And that means that you have to, you as the student with a guide, have to be responsible for using the higher part of the mind, the logos, to largely integrate or otherwise control the pathos or the feeling part. If you use this what they call the cell, the socio-emotional stuff, like you said, there's no learning happening. You're basically just downloading information. I mean, it's almost like a digital lobotomy. I tell my students that there's, you know, especially when they, you know, they have to write a topic or they don't like any of the topics that that might be out there. That just as an example, I said there's two parts to good learning. One is fun, hope, entertainment, it's the creative, it's the play where you experiment and stuff. You entertain your own curiosities, but there's another part that is the discipline part, which is the part where any high level of achievement is going to require some hard work, and that's never fun. I've done martial arts for 20 years, and so I also have a lot of experience with the part of that art is that, you know, it's fun to maybe grapple or maybe do some sparring or do some creative stuff, but you only get to have fun and do that if you're in shape and if you work on your tools over time, and that goes for your whole life. You know, those things will at some point get rusty if you get lazy on that. And so, you know, if you're always trying to make it, if these technologies are constantly trying to get rid of the difficult part where you have to kind of sweat or where you have to, you know, do a little bit of, you know, suffering, you know, self-guided suffering to find some higher state of awareness, consciousness. This is what I call learning. If you create these, you know, they call it gamified learning. You know, if you create these games or these technologies that cut that part out of the learning process, the student is not integrating the logos and the pathos with their own ethos. They're just being downloaded. And if they're just being downloaded, then they're not conscious at all. And maybe they'll be good workers, and maybe they'll have money, and maybe there will be some kind of social stability. But I don't know that that's necessarily making the student you know, a fully developed mind and spirit, and, you know, I'll stop there.
Well, true. And I remember that we used to have to write essays or we would have to actually give them feedback. You are taught a certain principle or a certain piece of information, or you read a book and then do a book report. And now they're not encouraged to do that kind of thing. I think that probably there are a lot of children in high school that can barely write a paragraph about something. It's not as required as it used to be.
Yeah, and as Orwell said, right, the language is intimately integrated with thought, right? I mean, you have to be able to think through a problem, you have to be able to dialogue with yourself in your own mind. And, it, you know, when I have, you know, when I read essays where a student's not aware that they've contradicted themselves fundamentally halfway through the paper, And we sit down, and then you show them, and you realize they really didn't, they really weren't aware that they did it. You know, like, oh, you're right. And then they need, you know, it's no wonder sometimes, you know, why, you know, there's all the all of the divisiveness in our country at this point, because, you know, people can't keep track of their own ideas, let alone, you know, the other side. And then when you get that inability to control your own emotions, your own pathos, you know, when words don't work, people get mean, you know.
Right. And your frontal lobe is the thinking part of your brain. Some people refer to it as the subconscious. In the back of the brain, you're kind of on automatic pilot. You don't have to think about you don't have to think about your heart beating or your lungs working or that kind of thing. They work automatically. But you really have to engage the frontal lobes to really understand and think about something and to be able to do some critical thinking rather than just taking in questionable information. Because I don't think that children or students are really challenged to raise their hand and say, hey, wait, I don't believe this. And of course, when you are in a group of people who are all expected to, oh, we'll pick this up on the other side, we'll be right back.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible?
Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. Our guest is John Klychek, the author of Schoolwork Order, The Technocratic Globalization of Corporatized Education. In your classical, well, who knows how classical it was, but in the traditional schoolroom, people were, they still practice a great degree of consensus thinking. There were some critical thinkers who would raise their hand and maybe ask questions about what was being presented, but they were less likely to. But now, you can't raise your hand and question something you're getting through a screen. There's no interaction. There's more consensus thinking, less critical thinking. The authority of the screen takes over everything. And I was going to ask you to talk about it in the next hour, Chapter 11. And Team Trump and who you refer to, and many people refer to him as the Donald, but oh gosh, and Bilderberg and PayPal and Facebook, and they all sit on these various boards. They're all buddies, and it's no coincidence that they would all be buddies and meet in private rooms without the public's knowledge, and we certainly are not going to hear about it on the nightly news. So.
Yeah, one place where a lot of these big, I'll call them big tech, big money, big tech people meet is at the Bilderberg Group.
Right.
And I mentioned that quite a bit. And, you know, when I wasn't even aware that people were in it, I'd be writing and I says, you know what, let me just check. And they, you know, I was like, oh, so let me add that, because this, so Zuckerberg has been there, Ray Kurzweil, who I talked about, if your people don't know, that's, chief of engineering at Google, been around. He's the reason why you have voice recognition software and cochlear implants. I mean, he's super important in terms of the development of all this technology. Zuckerberg, obviously, CEO of Facebook. Who's the guy? Who's the PayPal guy? That Thiel.
Right.
Bilderberg again. Bezos was, I believe, at one of those.
Right.
And so, you know, yeah, I mean, which is, again, you know, if you don't look at these things, if you don't look at stuff like Bilderberg, if you don't look at stuff like, you know, the Order, if you don't look at stuff like the CFR, the CNP is another one, right? It's the right wing version of the CFR. You know, you're largely, what you look at might seem disparate. Right, it might seem like just random companies that are competing, and you know, but when you just add that other layer to it, and you're like, well, that's a pretty even continuity of people that kind of keep popping up the same places and changes how you interpret it.
Right? Yeah, like it was a big coincidence. These people are all here. Oh gosh, what a coincidence. Ha ha. Okay, we're at the top of the hour. We will be right back, and we will invite your phone calls. Be right back.
life with Extendovite.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last two decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendivite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The seven herbs in Extendivite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendivite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendivite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.